Hey, hello, beautiful people.
Indeed, that is one of my biggest pleasure is always when I went to my own
farm. I think it is important to first understand what a healthy relationship with food is for us to know what it is not.
Not try.
I can relate. I can relate.
Selfish.
So no. You could be your own farmer pretty soon. Who knows?
Trust me when I tell you, there will always be challenges. There will always be risks.
Seems like we have a lot in common.
Welcome to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show.
And of course, it's your favorite girl, Sharonita Hosa.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show. Now, if you're just listening to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast and you do not know who we are, yes, I'm going to tell you. So we are a public relations and communications firm helping you as an agriculture business owner to build brand visibility and establish thought leadership in your domain. So if you're looking for an industry-specific public relations firm to help you with your PR and media relations, social media, and a lot more, then I would definitely tell you that we are the right company to do that for you. So please quickly explore letstalkagriculture.com. And if you like to have a conversation with anyone, just send an email to hello@letstalkagriculture.com. See you soon. So I'm picking up this podcast episode from my opportunity decks, where you will be learning how to gain access to VC funds as women founders in agriculture. And of course, women from other domains can equally benefit from this episode. You see, getting access to finance has always been a major challenge for women founders in agriculture and beyond. And that is why I decided to make this episode, because I believe that this will help women to plan better and also to get access to funds for their businesses. Now, let's welcome our guest for today's show, Preeti Kubiani, the co-founder of Coronet Africa and eFarmer. Hello, Preeti. Thank you so much for joining the show today. Just like your name, Preeti. Thank you so much for joining today. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the show today, Sharon. I must say, I love what you did with your brand. I love what you did with your website. I think by just looking at your personal brand and your company brand itself, one can already know exactly that you really are kind of a woman who put your money where your mouth is. Like, it's so brilliant. I can already see the outcomes of those that work with you on the PR aspect.
Thank you so much for the kind words. I mean, we have to, you know, put out the best. We don't want anybody to see agriculture as unattractive. So we have to, you know, position ourselves in that light as well to make sure people find it very attractive. I mean, I know that agriculture doesn't really have to be the farm. I mean, you can always do something outside of being on the farm or doing the, you know, production. Yes. And the rest. So this is our own way of pushing it out as well. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
Sure. Thank you. So I know I didn't get to give the good description of who you are. So I would definitely love for you to just share a little bit about you and what you've been doing so far in the agriculture space, how you got to this point, really, because I've been seeing how amazing you are and what you've been doing so far. So I would really like you to share with us just a little bit. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sharon. I was born on the east side of the country in the Eastern Cape into a farming community and a family business. So my father ran a car fixing workshop. So from a very young age of 6, it was like house chores. When you come back from school, it's either you're washing dishes or you are going to the office with dad. So I worked a lot within the car fixing, and we also ran a wood cutting business where we sourced wood and then we sold it to commercial businesses like butcheries, funeral homes, etc. And obviously, we own about 4 acres of farming land where we were farming for sustenance. Maybe only 20% was for commercial reasons, but we're farming for sustenance. So that upbringing planted a seed in my mind that business was always have to have the profit side and always have to have the side of impact. So I finished studying there, and then I headed to Varsity where I studied public relations, and then I went to do something that has absolutely nothing to do with what I studied, because I started working with corporates who within mining communities and manufacturing communities. So what they do, they will source non-profit organizations to do their social responsibilities. So I was overseeing the office that would source nonprofit organization, train them and allocate resources and make sure that they use the finances for what it has been financed for, and they produce the results that were needed with the mining and manufacturing companies. And then from there, I worked with within management consulting, where we worked with medium companies that are looking to start opening shops across the country and across the continent. And it was during that time where it led us, one of the accounts that I was working on grew so much that the questions that we were asking around quality issues as we are moving big volume and starting to do business with bigger businesses, questions around the quality of the product started arising. When we looked for a solution to solve these kind of problems, we only found ones that were built for enterprise. And at that point, we realized, you know what, let's just build our own quality assurance. So we began our journey in technology, specifically in making quality assurance accessible for small and medium companies. And it was from there that we started building eFarma app that connects farmers to commercial buyers and directly to consumers, and helping smallholder farmers to achieve quality assurance. So from there, from that quality assurance background, we started focusing more on the agriculture sector through a funding from the Switzerland-based organization that approached us and gave us some funding to say, can we improve our technology to focus at least 80% of our work within the agricultural space? And here we are today. We have about 4,000 buyers in just in a period of 1 month of launching our app on iOS and on Google. We've got close to 8,000 farmers that have registered via our application to sell their produce to our buyers.
That's interesting. I mean, you've really put in a lot of work already. I mean, it's very important that when we are doing something, we're also looking at the quality part of it, because, I mean, you have to give quality. You have to be excellent in whatever it is that you do, and not just because you're trying to make profit and then you're not able to give people the quality that they should have. I mean, that is a very crucial thing when it comes to the ag sector as well. So kudos to what you've been doing so far. I really admire what you do. Thank you so much for sharing that with us as well.
Thank you.
So I think you would agree with me that women are at disadvantage when it comes to accessing VC funds, or maybe funds in general, really. So according to a stat I saw, I think roughly 80% of female tech startup leaders, right, reported using their personal savings as their primary source of funding for their new businesses. Now, this is a survey conducted by Kauffman Foundation. So what would you say about this? I mean, what can you really say is the roadblock that women are facing in the VC industry? That is, I mean, if you really agree with me that women face challenges.
Totally. I totally agree with you, Sharon. One of the studies that was done, only 2% of the VC fund female-led startups or female co-founders. And then there's a macro aspect of the things that we cannot control. If I was to just touch more on the macro side, we have one, the issue that raising funding is not easy for everybody. take the US, for example, who is among the most developed countries and have got one of the most vibrant startup environment. Every year, at least 500,000 startups will be created. Only 6% of those will actually receive funding and exist for the next 3 years, meaning that even if you are within the good environment, which is the US, you still have only 6% chances of getting funding. It gets worse when you become an African woman and having to deal with that fact that it is not easy to raise funding. The second issue there is the issue of representation. The VC industry is really a boys' club. There's very few women that are within the industry. I really strongly believe that some doors open from the inside, not because you need to know somebody who knows somebody, but the fact that when the female voice is not represented within the VC space, there's not going to be much change that is going to happen. So we need female-led VCs, and we need more females in the board of these funds. And the last one I'll mention on this point is inherited assumptions that exist. I remember two years ago, I sat on a panel when I was being interviewed and when we were considered for funding. And after a conversation was happening, just after that, I asked one of the VCs, like, why is it that your fund has only funded 2% of specifically African women in your fund? And then his answer was that, you know what, based on our experience dealing with African women and of all races that are based in Africa, is that sometimes African-based women are quick to attend to social needs before they focus on the economic needs, meaning that he continued to say, if I gave you a truckload of bricks, you want to use half of those bricks, giving them to communities, and then you are left with half, and then everybody is homeless. So we are quick to want to attend to social needs because there's so much social need that it exists too early. And then the last one, he said it just didn't perform well, their investment, when they gave to female. And most of these problems really are not the reason why funding shouldn't go to women, because they can improve their screening process for the incoming candidates to see, like, we have received funding before. If you do a due diligence, you'll find that we receive audits all the time, and you'll find out that we didn't do what the people that we were dealing with came. So it's one of those inherited assumptions that create this trust gap that funders sometimes have with female-led startups, especially from regions where there's a lot of social need.
This is really eye-opening.
This is really eye-opening.
Indeed, this is really eye-opening. So I know you mentioned something around funds in the US. So is this also tied to just women, or is it both women and men who are also looking to get these funds? Or are we just talking about women only?
The 6% of those that were funded, it was the majority of startup. It was both men and women. Both men and women, they do face problems in terms of staying open and receiving funds. But when it comes to women, it's actually worse.
Yes, I agree with that. And also, I totally agree with having a woman backing up a VC industry or something. I really, really, really am pressing on that, because I feel that if we have more women in that sector, it would be a lot easier for women to get access. I mean, there should be a voice representing women out there. And if we do not have that, then I believe that's an issue. Because somehow I've really taken our time to go through it as well. And what I was able to conclude was we need to have more women in the VC industry as well, because if we don't, women are going to be, should I use the word suffering? Women are going
absolutely
to suffer for it.
Yes, absolutely.
So I guess you've just really given something here for us to think about, for us to really see how to start getting involved. It's not easy, but women have to get involved. Women have to get involved.
Absolutely.
Many people just find it, maybe look out for the short courts or something. But I mean, if we want to change the narrative that we have that women cannot handle businesses, women cannot handle finance, then we have to start coming out. We have to start using our voices and pushing it out to let people know that, yes, we are capable of doing that. Not like we're trying to prove ourselves to anybody, right? But just do it. Come out and you know, show yourself and let people know that you can actually do this, which I believe is very key as
Absolutely. No, totally. I totally agree.
But then, I mean, now that we've actually talked about some of the roadblocks, so how can we just really address some of these roadblocks that you've talked about? Is there some sort of strategy that can be put in place for this?
No, absolutely. So I think when it comes to doing this, first and foremost, we need to focus on what we can do and what we can control, because we know it's already hard to raise funds for all the genders, especially for us as women. We have to be overly prepared. We have to, not that we have to have answers to everything, but we need to know our industry. If it's going to take me only time to figure it out and not money, there is no reason why I actually don't know. Because what that come across as to investors is that if you won't spend time, why would I spend money? So you're going to have to spend a lot of time learning about your industry, learning about your target market, so that you can understand things that other people cannot understand. Secondly, we have to speak to the right VC or to a right funder. As well, we shouldn't be speaking to the right people or based on two things. One, at the stage where your startup is, and based on what market you are addressing. So, for example, if you are building an application or you've started a business and you haven't started having revenue as yet, avoid speaking to VC or any funding that one posts revenue, because hearing a no can be very discouraging. It's time consuming. There's absolutely countless funding platforms that back startups from ideation to when you just have your minimum viable products, but you haven't really show any profit at the moment. So make sure that you focus on that. If you are too early and you don't have revenue, you don't have good numbers, you may want to focus on grants, development funding, impact funding, and early stage startup VCs that actually focus on startups that have not made any revenue, so that you only speak to that. And I think the last thing I would mention on this one as well, find your people, get into incubators, get into accelerator programs, not just for money, but to learn. Never think that you know a lot, you know too much, or maybe you can write a killer pitch deck. If your killer pitch deck has not given you the results that you need, which is securing you the funding that you need, maybe there's certain aspects that you still need to learn. So get into incubators, accelerator programs, even those that just helped you with training and mentorship that don't have any money in it. Get into it. One, to learn. Two, to build relationships with your fellow founders and also with people that lead that. Because remember, if your startup doesn't have good numbers, only your character actually speak for you, and people are not gonna back your startup. They're gonna back you as a founder, and most of the time founders and other people, they believe something that other people are saying about you than what you have demonstrated, that you can learn, you can stick to something, you can start a program and you can finish it, and you can prove that this is a return on investment out of the time and the mentorship that I have been given. Then it kind of gives people an idea as to, once you are trusted with funding, how will you perform?
Thank you so much for sharing that. So this simply means that it is not just about your company, but also your character also matters when it comes to getting funds, right? there's so much coming into the picture right now. So just to highlight what you've just mentioned, and just to still put it out to the listeners out there, so you have to spend time on your research and your target audience if you really want to get money for your business. You have to spend time doing the work. Don't just try to wrap up everything and think that, oh, I'm just going to get the funding that I need because I have some sort of killer pitch. But have you really done your homework? That is what we are talking about. Now, spend the time doing your research, knowing your target audience, and also speak to the right VC. Speak to the right VC. And also find your people, you know, find the people that are in the same space as you, who are also trying to work around this. Get involved with incubator programs, accelerator programs, just to learn and build relationships. I really hope that this can resonate with a lot of us that are trying to get access to VC funds. So you should know some of the things that you have to put in place before trying to get access to all of this funds, so you don't get disappointed at the end of the day. So there's a lot of work for you to do at the back before you come out to say you want to get access to funds. Thank you so much for sharing this, Priti. So I really think this is really amazing, and this is really insightful for those that are trying to get access to VC funds. There are lots of things. I mean, we have so many people complaining about not getting access to VC funds. And I think I was always thinking that probably there is something that is missing, right? Because even if we have... Even if we have female VC founders and the rest, and then you do not have all of these things in place, right, it is still going to be difficult for you to get access to the funds because you've not done your homework. So as much as we want to be supporting women, you know, we want to be women supporting women as well, but we have to definitely do our homework because I don't think a woman wants to still give another woman money when you've not really done anything. Even though you're a woman,
absolutely,
I wouldn't want to give you money now. So
sure.
we all have to, you know, we all have to be deliberate. We have to be intentional about what we're trying to do. And I think when we take our time to do our research, do our homework, things become very easy for us. So even when you're able to connect with a woman founder, I mean, when you've done your work, it becomes very easy for you to get access to these funds. So thank you so much once again for sharing that.
Most welcome. Thanks, Sharon.
Sure. So just one last question before we wrap up the show today. How do you think that women can improve their venture pitch outcomes?
That's a great question, Sharon. I think there's a number of things that we can do. Even you have expanded a lot on it, that we have to take care of the basics. Certain things don't require funding. They require really little capital. Certain things don't require capital at all. They require money. So take care of the basics, like your personal brand. Choose a social media platform and build from there a good clean brand where you post about your insights of what you have learned in the industry, have a proper picture, make sure that it is properly, you are properly investing in your own personal brand. Today, for just $100, $200, for example, you can actually build a website. Even if you don't know how to code, you can create company branding. You can do a photo shoot so that you look professional. Because if you're trying to raise $200,000, but you can't raise $200 to take care of the basics, that really raises eyebrows. So try and take care of the things that don't require money. Get into media, write blogs, get into good podcasts. But like you said, I don't think even the Sharon brand would want to be associated with somebody who is not prepared. I don't expect you to lower standards for us because we are women. You have a brand, you have a business that you are running, and you're only going to allow content that is of value. So nobody should be doing favors for us without us putting in the work. Secondly, you need to build your own metrics. What I mean by that, for example, if you are submitting funding application, let's say you submit one application. For every one application that you submit, at least find five customers who may who will buy your product or who will use your app if you are building an app, because at any given moment, raising money internally from sales rather is the best way to finance your startup. And if your startup will only succeed because of funding, that's really bad. Know that funding is not important. I always say this, like, look at it like this. It's like if you're traveling, for example, if I was to travel to Cape Town from where I am in Sandton at the moment, I have a number of options that I can choose. I can choose to travel by a plane. I can choose to drive. I can choose to travel by a car. If I fly to Cape Town, which is what VC funding does, I'll be in Cape Town in just 2 hours. But I can drive there. It's going to take me 16 hours. I can even walk, even though it's going to take me the whole month if I try to walk. But at the end of the day, I am moving. So try your own efforts to move, even if you're moving on foot, even if you are driving, so that funders will find you having covered some ground anyways. So that's the second thing. The next thing is you need to create a buffer for yourself. Never have limited options. You need to speak to at least 50 VCs or funders for you to secure a certain amount of money. For example, if you submit just one application a day, in a quarter, you would have submitted at least 60 applications, and you definitely will be able to get a funding out of that. So don't just submit to one or two and then get discouraged and don't go back. Just have more options. And the second last thing that I would mention is that there is no copy and paste. As you speak to multiple funders and multiple VCs, you can't use the same words, the same investor pack or deal pack that you've been using to apply for the other thing. One of the things that we do whenever we raise funds, we appoint a person whose job will be full-time applying for the. They will do a research as to what is important to the fund you're applying to, what is it that they require in terms of proposal, financials, and we will edit the ones that we have to specifically speak to what they are looking for, so that we're not doing a copy and paste. And the last thing will be you need to use reverse engineering. For example, if you were applying to get into an accelerator program that has got, say, $250,000 and you were rejected from there, don't just turn away because you are discouraged. Find out the people that they got into that accelerator program, what is it about them that you don't have, so that you can identify gaps that exist in your startups, then you can build towards that. And if you can even go on a call with somebody who has been funded before, not necessarily by the same funding, to point into certain aspects of the boxes, just have a look at my deck. I know you've received funding before. Can you have a look at my deck to see what is it that I'm missing? That will be awesome. You can approach a VC person who doesn't necessarily fund people in your industry and just ask them to just ask them for 15 minutes of their time to give you few pointers. When you're asking fewer time and you're not asking money, people are most likely to help you to get closer to your goal. I think in closing, I worked a lot on the NGO side with a lot of NGOs that were raising serious funds into millions, tens of millions of dollars. One of the things that we will do, we'll always go to funders to say, can you share with us a business plan of organizations you have financed in the past? We want to use those metrics that worked for you to train our NGOs as to these are the items that are important to the funder, so that we can increase our chances of getting funding.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, I just feel like everything just connects. You know, one of our recent episode, I was the guest and the podcast host. And I was able, because I really am very particular about agriculture business owners working on their brand, you know, I mean, that is the reason why Let's Talk Agriculture exists, really, because I feel that even though we are in the agriculture sector, trust me, I feel that not so many agriculture business owners prioritize their brand, you know, their personal brand, their social media, their visibility, you know. Yes. That is what I feel. So that is the reason why Let's Talk Agriculture came out, to say, hey, we're really going to help you to do everything about your brand image, your social media, giving you the visibility that you need. So one of my recent episodes, I talked about how you can utilize public relations for your business growth. Now, people just think that you're just going to wake up one morning and then you're getting all of the buzz, you know. it doesn't work that way. You have to invest time. You have to work on yourself. I really throw more light on the personal brand. I mean, if you're a business owner, you should have a personal brand. You should have your own personal brand.
Yes.
Because
100%.
Yes, because people are identifying with you and not exactly your brand. It is through you that people would want to do business with you. So when you take care of your brand, then everything just falls in place. So they may not even know anything about your business, but they know you. So that is why I keep saying it whenever I have the chance to do a podcast of my own. I keep saying it and saying, hey, I really think you should invest in your personal brand, because you have an identity, right? You have your own identity. You are independent of the company that you work in or the company that you work for or whatsoever, but you have a personal brand to invest in your own self, because you have to build trust.
Absolutely.
I mean, sometimes people may just be from experience, you know, people may just be watching you. You don't know. People are watching you. They are seeing what you're doing.
All the time.
They just want to see that that you're very, I mean, they just want to see that you are very knowledgeable, right? You know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
They are just watching you from afar. So it is that work that you do that helps you. So thank you so much for hitting the nail on the head. Thank you for sharing this point. So it doesn't look like it's coming from Sharon, and I'm trying to coach you into coming to work with Let's Talk Agriculture. I am not. I am just stating the fact. You know, I started my journey right back in 2019. I started building my brand. I didn't get it right immediately. You know, I started building my brand. I started working as Sharon. So people can know me for something, and that is agriculture. So if you're reaching out to me to say, hey, Sharon, let's do something together, I know what you're asking from me. You want to talk about agriculture. That is what it is. So So thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing this insight. I believe that with these points that you've made so far, lots of women who are seeking to raise funds in the agricultural sector and even beyond can really get something beautiful out of this and still apply it into raising funds for their businesses as well. Thank you so much once again for coming on the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast.
Thank you for having me, Sharon.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. So guys, we have come to the end of today's episode. I hope you enjoy and you learn from this episode. It is fully packed. So please, guys, listen and share with your friends. Listen and share with your women that you know, because they need this. Even if they're not raising funds, they need to build their brands. They need to build their brands. So please, guys, share it with your friends. And if you have any particular topic you'd like us to cover, don't fail to reach out to me. I'm on LinkedIn. My name is Sharon Idahosa on the LinkedIn profile. And you could just send an email to hello@letstalkagriculture.com. So if you'd also like us to help you with your public relations, your brand visibility, please do not fail to reach out to us. I have a soft spot for agriculture businesses. So do reach out to us, and I can't wait to share more amazing updates with you moving forward. Thank you, guys. I love you so much. And above all, God loves you.